Okay, if you will turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 15 and stand, and we will read that together. Matthew 15, when praying for someone. Today's title is When Praying for Someone. Lessons from a Gentile Woman. Okay. Matthew chapter 15. I'll be honest, when I look at this passage, I say, I preached that before. Then I went off to another one, and then my center of gravity moved back again to Matthew 15. So, but Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28. I'll read verse 21, you read verse 22. Okay? And so on until we finish at verse 28. Matthew 15, 21. The Bible says, Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Verse 22. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. Verse 24. Verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Verse 26. Verse 27, and she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Let's read together. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And the daughter was made whole from death. Let's pray. So Father, we come before you to ask you for faith like this woman. That God, you will teach us as you have taught us in this word how this woman prayed and begged Jesus for someone. And Lord, you had no choice but to answer because of her faith. Father, today, we ask you to increase our faith as we hear your word. For Lord, we cannot live in this world without your help. And we ask that you encourage us, Lord, as we see this woman that is not even of the chosen race of Israel, has her prayer gloriously answered by the King of this universe. Father, we pass. You speak to us in a special way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I cannot help myself when Jesus actually said, Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. The Lord was very specific in answering this lady's prayer. And we want to find out why. Now, I'll just go through a very quick exposition of this place, these verses. This is a passage of a mother praying for a daughter. Okay? Because in verse 22, Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. This mother is from present-day Lebanon. Right, present-day Lebanon. Tyre and Sidon is just on top of Israel. It's present-day Lebanon where the Hezbollahs are. Okay, but she's from there. And this woman was a woman of Canaan. And this land was invaded by the Israelites, if you remember, in the Old Testament. Alright, when Joshua bringing the people to attack and invade the land of Canaan, because it was to be the promised land. Okay, this land, the god of this land was Baal. The god of this land was Baal, the fertility god. We'll touch on that a bit later. She came to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says in verse 22, cried unto him. This cry has to do with a loud voice, a voice that is persistent. It means to clamor. When you cry, it means to clamor. It's interesting, when I read the meaning of the word clamor, it means to stun with voice. In others, when you could be walking around and suddenly someone shouts at you. That is the idea when the lady came to Jesus in prayer and calling to Jesus. She was stunning Jesus with her voice. He raised a loud voice to make an urgent request. Now, what was she clamoring about? She was asking mercy from the Lord. Look at verse 22. Have mercy on me. She was asking for mercy. Lord, I know I'm not good, but Lord, have mercy on me. But what was she praying for? She was praying for her daughter. She acknowledged Jesus as the Lord, as the Son of David. Listen, a woman of Canaan, whose God is the devil, acknowledged Jesus as the Son of God. Now that's interesting, after I highlight that. She presented her petition because her daughter has a serious problem. The Bible says in verse 22, O thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. She was grievously vexed with a devil. That means she had, the word grievously has to do with badly, miserably diseased, or grievously tormented, afflicted by a demon. Alright? One of these days I may deal with the whole area of demons, but it's interesting, the New Testament don't go a lot into the study of demons. Did you know that? Although they are around. The New Testament didn't do a lot. I'll talk about that another time. But it is interesting because almost all demon possession cases here has to do with diseases. Okay, I'll give you one verse. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. How demon possession and diseases have relationships in the past. Okay, Matthew 12, verse 22. The Bible says, then was brought unto him and unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed them, inasmuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Okay, so apparently there are two classes. One class is the disease is related to demon possession. Another class is there's a clear separation of the two. But only about 11 verses in the entire New Testament talks about demon possession as a separate class. And I just give you one reason why. Because there's so much obsession with the occult, is there not? In the cinemas, there's so much obsession with the occult. In your computer games, it's also the occult. All the people have demonic cases, right? Yeah. All the computer games, there's this obsession with death and then coming back to life. Huh? You know why? Because in the last days, the Bible says seducing spirits shall come. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Giving heed to many people, a perilous time shall come and many will give heed to seducing spirits and what? Doctrines of devils, okay? Doctrines that come literally from hell. Alright? And so, this is preoccupation, but it's interesting, in the life and ministry of Christ, he doesn't give much. There were four things, but I won't touch on. I'll just give you one reason why. Many times, the demon possession cases has to do with the moral character. That this person is like this and he's demon possessed and that's why he's like this. He needs Jesus that will change his life. And that is the trend of the New Testament on demon possession. Okay? But coming back to this, this lady was demon possessed and you must understand, it must have been depressing for them. Very distressing. Recently, I was doing, as part of my work, as a pastor, I saw work outside. I saw a child. She was born. When she was born, I was reading the case. No, when she was born, she was fine. Okay, she was fine. Then apparently, a few minutes later, after she was born, her lungs collapsed. But that's in the medical history. And after her lungs collapsed, what happened was, if the lungs collapsed, you have no oxygen. Okay, immediately she went into distress, meaning the oxygen has stopped going to the brain. All right, and I was talking to the grandma, and the grandma was crying because she was born normal, but because of the collapsing of the lungs, there was no blood going to the brain. She had to be resuscitated. Okay, she had actually to go on the resuscitation machine, and they took a few hours. Okay, she was in and out of like heart attack, and then come back again, and after a few hours, they managed to stabilize her, but by then, her brain is gone because of the blood. And the doctors took the time, there was a reduction of the blood to the brain. Today, she's 3 years old. And she's like, yeah. And she would just twitch, or you have a music, she would just twitch. She's 3 years old, she has to be carried around. Alright, she's what we would consider a slow stream rehab, meaning that there's nothing much to work on here anymore because the brain has been damaged quite severely. And you could understand as a grandma come, as parents try to work hard to provide the money to have therapy and try to help this child. And the grandma made it her life mission to make things as comfortable for her. She'll massage for her, she'll bring her in into the center and she'll lay her down, she'll just... there's a little bit of movement, but not much to communicate. And so, what grandma does is, she also went into epileptic fits. You know, epilepsy, whereby people would just go into fits. And she was so doped up with medicine. There's so much medicine in this particular child that every time she comes for 2-hour session, she spends the first hour sleeping because she was so much with medication to stabilize her brain condition. Anyone who knows anything about epileptic drugs is that when you give drugs for epilepsy, you stop learning. Because epilepsy, the drug is the same center as your learning centers. And so when you give a drug to block the epilepsy, you literally block learning too. Because every time they learn, epilepsy starts, they lose their learning. Alright, that's part and parcel of neuroscience. But this particular child, can you imagine this grandmother? She has been at the center for 7 months. And I had to come and make her cry. I would just kind of ask a little bit of history. And within 5 minutes, you could see she was in tears. She couldn't control herself. No, but sense that she's carrying this child day in, day out. We cannot respond. It's just distressing. Okay? It's just distressing to be able to see this child and not be able to do anything. Of course, the parents, there was another child that was there, a different condition, but you know, same thing, just like this. And this dad and this mom, they've gone to India, they've gone to Malaysia, they've gone to the snake temple, they go everywhere and try to get some help. But in the end, it was still... the child is still there and the child can't do much. They can't do much. Can you imagine having to live with this child? It's not easy for her, having to meet all her needs, manage all her needs. You know what? This lady came to Jesus and said, she is grievously vexed with the devil. The word grievously has the idea of heavy. It is a burden, Lord. I've been bearing this. And my daughter is not just... me bearing, but my daughter is bearing this burden. Lord, how I wish she could have a normal life. How I wish she could do things like everyone else. Is it possible in your own family, there might be one, maybe not a physical condition, but when you look at the life of your family members, this is a mother praying for the daughter. Is it possible in your own life there might be one person whom you, when you look at this person's life, Lord, I wish this person was different. Lord, can't he see that Jesus Christ loves him or her? Lord, why can't they see? And to you, it's a heavy burden. Someone who needs someone to pray for. Like in this mother in the heart of like this mother in your own hearts, you love this person, you want something for them, you want the best that God can give to them, amen. Sometimes what we give to them may not be the best, but if God gives to them, it's always the best. And they seem to have that rejection. The situation to you is bleak, is helpless. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking especially of the salvation of our loved ones. The salvation of the ones that took care of us when we were growing up. The people we played with and cared for us as we grow. Alas, sometimes, how many of us sometimes go to the point of saying, what's the point? They're not going to change. Before I continue, can I say this? When there's life, there's always hope. Amen? When there's life, there's always hope. When there's life, there is always, always hope. Before you go into that time, you know, sometimes people say, oh, it's futile, no use praying for them. I don't believe that. I think we need to be more on fire for these people. Let's look at Luke chapter 18, verse 24. Luke 80 verse 24. I'll just read that. I want you to listen to what Jesus said. This has to do with salvation. Luke 18:24. The Bible says, "And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, 'How hardly shall they have riches to enter into the kingdom of God?'" Jesus specifically dealt with riches here. There was this rich young man. How do I, or what must I do to go to heaven? And he said, "Well, sell all your goods and give in to the poor and come and follow me." This rich man walked away very, very sad. And you know, later on, Jesus says, "It's so hard for someone who depends on himself to get to heaven. For someone who depends on things of this world to get to heaven." Verse 25, "It is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." And then they that heard it, the disciples said, "Who then can be saved?" Listen to what Jesus said about salvation. In Luke 18:27, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Sometimes we look at our loved ones and say, "Lord, how are we going to reach them with the gospel of Christ?" Jesus said, "With you it's impossible, but not with me." What can we do when we have this person who is not safe? He's in a very serious condition. Because you know what? She's between, he's one breath away from eternal damnation. Like this mother who carried that daughter, perhaps from young, and said, "Lord, she's grievously bad. She's miserable. Lord, she's diseased. And she's so, it's a bad condition for her." We know what we need to do. We can do nothing else but pray with great faith. Not just pray. Many of us pray, but we pray without faith. In this situation, Jesus had to answer this lady's prayer because he said, "Woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith." God wants us to have great faith when praying for the salvation of someone. Well, what are some principles we can learn from this lady? I'm just going to draw with you 8 principles, alright? But I believe it's very important for us to understand. Number one, when praying for someone's salvation, we need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew 15:22. I like this. The Bible says, "A woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried and saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David.'" I want you to understand where this lady is from. This lady is from the land of Canaan, whose god is the devil, Baal. Baal is a fertility god. It gives rise to all kinds it promoted every form of perversion. Okay, immorality. They believe that Baal is a god, that if you would have immorality in the temple with those people who sell themselves to have immorality in the temple, and you have a child after that, that is Baal's blessing. So literally, Baal has 1,000 temple prostitutes, and people can go there, and this part of the ritual, that's a perversion, that's immoral. And this lady is from there. You know what did this lady call Jesus? Son of David. You know, the son of David is peculiar to the Jews. Why? Because only the Jews refer to Jesus as the son of David. Does that make sense? And how in the world is a woman of Canaan acknowledging the God of Israel? Unless she has trusted Christ. Oh, she has trusted Christ in her own heart. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, just listen to what he said. Don't turn, just listen. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness, it is accepted with him.'" In other words, if anyone who fear God and would trust Christ as personal Savior, that person is accepted with God. John Calvin was wrong. John Calvin is wrong. You know what John Calvin believes? That God only died for an elect few. Huh? That God chooses people to be saved and chooses someone to go to heaven. That's not what Jesus said. "Anyone who will trust me can be saved." And in this situation, in Matthew 15, this was a lady not of the elect of Israel, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ, because she trusted Christ, she received her blessing. She received the answer to prayer. And she acknowledged Jesus as the son of David. You know, the Bible says, "Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen?
Whosoever believeth.
But you know, let's go a bit further. That is for salvation. Can I say this? Some of us pray without believing. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. There was another instance whereby it's not just saving faith, but you need to pray by faith too. Jesus, in Matthew 9:27, says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two men followed him, crying, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, a blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto him, Believe ye that I am able to do this?" I'm going to put, based on God's word, a challenge to your faith. I dare say, the Lord Jesus Christ says the same thing today. Believe ye that I am able to save your parents? This is what God says, right? This is what Jesus said to the blind man. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Do you believe I'm able to do this? Christians, you need to settle in your heart that the Savior of this world says, do you believe that I can save your parents? I told the people in a prayer retreat that, you know, even as I shudder when I say that, but I believe it on my heart. I'm praying for every parent, every church member's parents who are not saved, to be saved before it's too late. That's why we need God. Because only God can reach them. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to live separated lives. But Jesus asked the question, do you believe I'm able to do this? Some of you may have people in your family that are not walking the way that you want them to walk. You need to bring them before Christ as well to pray. Do you believe? You know what the people say? Jesus asked him, believe ye that I'm able to do this? So when you pray, every time you pray, Jesus will ask you this. When you pray, do you believe that I can do this? You know what should your answer be? They said unto him, yea, Lord, we know you can heal us. In another part of the Bible, there was a person in Matthew 8 and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Lord, the question is not whether God can save. The question is whether you believe He can save. Can you see the difference? God can save. He can heal. Because God is all powerful. The question is, do you believe? Because God wants to build our faith to trust Him. So she is crying in distress. God, help me. Help my unbelief. We need to learn to trust God. The Bible says, Hebrews 11 verse 6, what does it say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God wants us to live a life that is pleasing to Him. And the beginning part of that is faith. And the question I ask is, do you believe that Jesus can do that? You know what the Bible says? After He said, yes, I believe, they settle in their hearts, Lord, I know You can. Then I'll just go on to do what I need to do. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, over there, then touched He their eyes and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. If gospel is true, this can still happen today. Because Jesus just told us, with you is impossible, but not with me. Can you see the faith that needs to come to trust Christ? Let me ask you, what's stopping your faith? If you truly believe that Jesus can do something, these two blind men believed Jesus could do something. You know what they did? They came to Jesus. Lord, we want to see. Do you believe I can do this?
Yes, Lord. Yes, I want to see.
Jesus opened their eyes. Maybe you need to pray, Lord, open the eyes of my family members. And Lord, I believe you can. Settle it in your hearts today. You need to not just believe in salvation, you need to believe by faith Jesus Christ can. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We need to put our faith in Christ. There's certain things in life that we just cannot have any control, like the personality of our family members, the way they do things, but God can change them. Amen? We need to believe that. am not giving you a pep talk. I can't change. The words that I say can't change you. Only God can change you to trust Him to reach your own family members. Number one, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, notice what the lady prayed. She was a woman of Canaan. The first thing she came in Matthew 15:22, the first thing she said was, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." But if you read the context, was she praying for herself? She was praying for someone else. But you know what? You know what she's saying? My daughter's condition is my condition. What she's going through is what I'm going through. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. You know, sometimes as Christians, we need, God, have mercy on me. Increase my faith. Lord, change me. Can I say this? I believe it all my heart. The Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men." And many times, many people don't come to Christ because they see no light. And God puts you, maybe you are the only Christian in your home. You know why God says, you know, in this whole room, at night when you come for a Friday Bible study on Friday nights, you notice that the whole place is dark. You know what? One light is enough to light up the whole place. Christians, that's your role. You are the candlelight in the dark place of your family. Shine for Christ. But you know, sometimes God, have mercy on me first. Oh God, you need to change me first. When praying for someone's salvation, we need to identify ourselves with that person. Because if there's no love, sometimes we always say, forget it. I don't want to pray for him already. How is God going to save that guy if you're the only instrument that God can use to reach? It's interesting. Remember, if you are tempted to say that, stop. Because God says, I want to use you. Because you are there. You are the best person to reach that person. Notice the heart of two persons. I'll just read in Exodus 32, verse 32. Just read it. Just listen to this. It's Moses. God was prepared to destroy Israel. Look at what Moses, listen to what Moses prayed. "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, Moses say, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." You know what Moses say? God, please forgive them. Don't destroy them. But if you want to destroy them, then kill me first. That's what Moses said. Kill me first. That's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, an Apostle Paul went further. You know what he said? In Romans chapter 9, verse 1, I read this, listen. "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost." In verse 2, "I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart." What was the sorrow? "For I wish that I could myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren." You know what Paul said? "Lord, I'm so concerned for the salvation of my own countrymen that even if it involves me living in hell forever so that they can go to heaven, so be it." That was Paul's heart. You know why we don't pray as urgently for our loved ones? That's why the lady said, "Lord, have mercy on me. I need to change." You know what, Inshin? My love for my loved ones need to change, need to up higher, number one. Number two, maybe it's our testimony at home. We need to change certain behaviors and habits. "Lord, have mercy on me." What we say, what we do, we will say one thing and do something else. "God, have mercy on me. Change me so that someone else can come to Christ." Listen to this. "It is burning. It is the burning lava of the soul that has a fire within. A very volcano of grief and sorrow. It is the burning lava of prayer that finds its way to God." No prayer ever reaches God's heart which does not come from our hearts. This was spoken by my old friend, Spurgeon. He said, no prayer will reach God's heart if it doesn't come from yours. Because God is not interested in half-hearted prayers. Parents, are you interested in your children and say, Mama, can you give something? Huh? Your child comes to you, asks for something and runs away? Parents, have you had children? Okay, huh? Let's pretend he's my father. You see the striking resemblance? Okay. Let's pretend I want something. Okay? And what I do is, Papa, I want! I want! No, he'll give it to me before his hand comes off. Thank you. You see the difference? You know in your expression is that you are begging God. You know in Luke chapter 18, which I was supposed to preach, and God pushed me back here. It's this widow who banged at the door of the unjust judge, remember? Avenge me of my adversary! Avenge me! This guy is too bad. And this unjust judge, the Bible says, don't care for God, don't care about man. But you know what he said? I don't care about God, but if I don't listen to her, she's going to shout me. I'm very irritated. If I give her what she wants, then at least she'll leave. You know what Jesus said? Listen to what the unjust just said. If a person who don't care about anything, but if there's someone who will persistently pray, he will get what she wants. How much more if you go to the heart of God, the Father, and you beg God with tears, God, please, the soul of my mom. Please, Lord, the soul of my dad. Please, Lord. You think God won't give to you? God will. I believe with all my heart, He will. She's sitting right here. She will. My mom. God will. But you need to identify yourself and say, God, if you don't save her, then take my life. We need to identify ourselves with that person. Point number 3 in verse 21. When praying for someone's salvation, you need to bring the person before Christ. The person needs to come before Christ. This lady, when she prayed, Lord, my daughter, she's sick. Not only changed me, Lord, now she brings the exact petition. Lord, my daughter is grievously vexed. God, that's the problem. The gods of my nation is not going to help me, Lord. But I know you can. God, please. She brought the daughter before. You turn to Mark chapter 7 and verse 24. This was another passage of the same thing, but written by the Apostle Mark. And I read, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and entered into a house. Verse 25. A certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. Notice, I want you to notice the faith. She heard of him. And then came to him and fell at his feet. Notice the lady heard of Jesus, and she came. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Can I say this? This lady brought the daughter, after she's heard that Jesus Christ could do something, she came. She came, and rightly so. We need to bring our petitions before God specifically. You know, can I encourage you with this? Can I encourage you? What is the person's name that you are praying for? What is the person's name that you'll be praying for? What is your appeal to God? This lady say, my daughter is grievously vexed. Can you please come and cast that devil out of her? My mom is in this condition. She doesn't have much time. Lord, please, can you send someone to save her? Can you do something to reach her? Can you use me in some way to win her? When praying for someone's salvation, you need to bring that person. I know it's a given, but you know what? You need to bring your appeal to the court of heaven and bang on these doors. Number 4, when praying for someone, this is hard, look at verse 23. After the Lord Jesus Christ After the lady came to Jesus in Matthew 15:23 and asked Jesus, the Bible says what? But he answered her not a word. You know, I don't know about you, this is unlike the courteous Lord Jesus that we know. But by the way, God always has a reason for doing His work. You know why Jesus didn't respond? Because His mission was to the Jews. During that time, this is very important. Remember Matthew 1:21? At the birth of Jesus Christ, the angel says, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. You know that His refers to the Jews. Jesus came as a Jewish Messiah. Very clearly as a Jewish Messiah. But when rejected, God opened up the way for the Gentiles to come too. But here in Matthew 15, which Matthew was a gospel written to the Jews, Jesus said, I can't answer you. Why? Because I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know, in verse 25, you know what the lady did? Then she came, she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. Point number 4, when praying for someone's salvation, persevere, even when you feel God is silent. Can I say this? If I know God, when you don't hear anything from Him, He's busy doing something else. Our God is not one God who spends His time playing computer games, because this world... But God has everything in control, amen? Nothing happens without His permission. But you know the exciting thing? God works on our behalf. When we pray, just because mommy don't tell you anything doesn't mean dinner will not come. Amen? Children don't have to ask for lunch or dinner. Why? Because it will come, right? Just because mommy is silent in the kitchen, maybe you hear because the microwave oven is fin or whatever. Or maybe she dropped a ladle or something. But you know what? Just because God is silent doesn't mean He's not listening. Amen? Can I say this in your prayer for the salvation of your loved ones? You know where we get discouraged? Now, I'll just go through this first. The trend of modern Christianity is this. We live by sight more than by faith. What do I mean? We need to see things happening first, then we will move. What's the point of me praying if I don't see anything happening? Does it make sense? What's the point of me continuing in the ministry if no one gets saved? Okay? Because what? When we live by that thinking, get this, you are living by sight, not by faith. If you believe God has called you to do some work for Him, you stick at it, no matter what the results are. This is a vital principle in every Christian's life. Just because you don't see things happening, but you've been faithful and you're praying, doesn't mean God is not doing something. We need to understand this. I was told, for example, that tracting is a useless enterprise. Many people today don't do tracting anymore. They don't go door to door. Okay? And we need to be more creative. We need to use more creative ways of catching men. No, I don't doubt that. I think we need to be a little bit more creative, we have the VBS and all that, to try to bring the people in. But can I say this? A fisherman, when he goes out fishing, he goes every day, right? Does it guarantee that he's going to catch fish every day? There was one time when we were in, there's this place called Galley by the Straits. It's a kind of restaurant, but it's just next to the sea. There was one man that after we ate, we went there. Okay, me and my family, and I think we were actually celebrating someone else's birthday. So we went there. This man has been fishing there for 7 years. Wow, this guy is just, he said, I'm here every night for the last 7 years. And he said, the catch is not so good. After December 26th, there's a tsunami in Aceh. Because the sea has swept away all the good fish. But you know, he still keeps going. Can I say this? When you go fishing, it doesn't mean you catch fish every time. But if you're a fisherman, you keep going, whether you catch fish every time or not. Does it make sense? What did Jesus call us? Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. It's our duty to be out there. Some of you came because you found a track at the door. As far as I can see, going out soul winning not only has a pattern in the Bible, it's a command from God. You know, the disciples went out two by two. We need to go by faith and let God give the increase. If everyone in the Bethel Baptist Church would learn this, we be faithful to what God tells us. Let God do the increase. Just do what you're supposed to do. Just do what you're supposed to do. You in your small corner, I in mine, we doing all together. Guess who? The commander is Christ. He sees the bigger plan. He gives the instructions in the book. We just do. And by faith, Lord, you do. You know, for our family, the same thing. Pray. Have a testimony. Just keep doing the right thing. Have a good testimony. Speak kindly. Do all the things that you need to do. You know what? God is going to use you. But you need to keep praying and persevering even when you feel that God is silent. Because this lady, when Jesus didn't answer him, you know what she did? She came and said, Lord, help me. She just, three words. But the three words is full of faith. And you know, I had another message about this lady. You know what? This lady, she was, her faith was such that, Lord help me. Her mind was just, my daughter needs help. And she kept on going. Point number five, when we pray for someone's salvation, we need to persevere even when we feel that God is silent. Number five, when praying for someone's salvation, keep praying even when everyone's prayers are being answered but yours. Oh, this is painful. God, you're saving that. What about mine, Lord? Keep praying even when everyone's prayers are being answered but yours. How many times have you felt? Look at verse 24. But he answered and said, I'm not come. I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Sorry, I cannot talk to you now because I need to meet the needs of other people. You know what this lady did? Lord, help me. Can you see that faith that won't let God go? God, you got to help me. In Job chapter 23, verse 8, I'll read. Job, in the darkness of his life, he said this. Behold, I go forward, but God is not there. And backward, I cannot see him, I cannot perceive him. On the left-hand side, where he does work, I cannot behold him, I cannot see him again. He hideth himself on the right hand, I cannot see him. You know what Job says? All around my life, I go in front, I go behind, I go left and right. I cannot see God. You know what he says in verse 10? But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He says this, God, I may not see you, but I still trust in you. That's the faith we need. You see, faith cannot be faith if you can see it. Does that make sense? That's why we trust God. That's why we trust the Word. I'll give you a very simple illustration of trust. For example, if I tell Brother Lex, next week, this is false. I just trust. I say, Lex, you come for lunch next Sunday. Okay? I say, okay. So say, okay, right? Does Lex need to SMS me every day? Is the lunch still on? Is the lunch still on? What are you cooking? I mean, not like this, no? What time is it? You sure you... He doesn't know that, right? Why is it that we can trust our friends with appointments, when we cannot trust God? When he say, I'm not willing that any should perish. When he say, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, ask that he might receive, that your joy may be full. Why is it we can trust our friends more with lunch appointments? Maybe we need to satisfy the belly eat. But you know, I need to learn to trust God. We need to be praying, even when everyone else's prayers are answered but our own. Isaiah 8 verse 17, I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob. You know what Isaiah say? I will look for him. If God's not looking, I'm going to look for him. I'm going to keep on praying. Okay? Point number 6, when praying for someone's salvation, keep praying even when rejected by men. You know, in this situation, what happened? After the man came and cried to Jesus, you know what the people say in verse 23? Matthew 15, Jesus answered her not a word. Then his disciples came and besought, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. What's the point of praying? And all the work that you've done, and you've been rejected by men. And you perhaps you even feel the rejection, and you say, I've tried so hard. Now all the people can say is, what's the point? Christianity is kind of thing, and then they'll just push you back, and there's a lot of rejection even as you try to move forward for God. You know, when praying for someone, you need to keep praying even when you can sense the rejection. Even when the very person that you're praying for is rejecting it, you know what? Keep praying. You know why? Man can reject you, but God can intervene. And that's our hope. That's our hope. Matthew 7 verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? You know, the theme verse for our church for this month is John chapter 16 verse 24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. For those who were in the prayer retreat, I preached on that one. You can listen to it on the internet. That was an encouragement to ask and ask big. Jesus told the disciples, hitherto means up till now, until now. Have you asked nothing in my name? If you look at the Bible, you find that the disciples did ask Jesus. But you know what was a trend of the asking? Lord, save us. Lord, teach us. It was always about us. It was always about me. It's always about my things. It's always about, Lord, improve me. Help me. Get for me. It's always about the needs of this life. You know, Jesus says, up till now, you have asked nothing in my name. And I believe, spiritually, the Lord wants us to learn this. Don't just ask for the basic things of life. Ask big. Lord, I pray for the salvation. I don't understand how it's going to happen, but Lord, I'm praying, because if salvation is your will for all men, then it's according to your will. Then I need to pray for that. Right? We need to learn to pray big. We need to ask big. We need to learn to pray big. Remember, man rejects prayers. God doesn't. We need to pray and for salvation. We need to want God to save. We need to desire, Lord, save. Point number 7, Matthew 15:26. When praying for someone's salvation, keep praying even when you've been humiliated. Look at verse 26-27. You know what Jesus told her? It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Oh, there was this Jews and Gentiles. I don't like the Gentiles, the Jews says. You know, apparently the Jews, when they get out to pray, they pray three things. Lord, I thank you that I'm not a Samaritan. I'm not a woman. There's a Jewish man, okay? That they are very, and I'm not a Gentile. That's one of the prayers that the Jews pray. And so Jesus was actually emulating the culture of the Jews. I don't believe that the Lord Jesus had any evil intention. He just says, no, it's not. He's just making a statement. I cannot take what I'm supposed to give to the Jews and give it to you. That's what he says. The Gentiles are considered dogs. But notice what she says. Yes, Lord, you're right. I'm a dog. You know what she's saying? Yes, Lord, I'm a dog. I'm no good. There's nothing in my life, Lord, that you should answer this prayer. But God, help me with this. Oh, Lord, help me with this. I don't care what you call me. Can you see the desire and the heart of this lady for someone she cares about? You know what she said? Lord, help me. Is it possible that God may be just waiting for us to demonstrate? Perhaps in this way, Lord, in order to reach this person, I'm going to give up my whatever I'm doing. No matter what they tell me, no matter what career path I have, Lord, I'm willing to give it up. I don't care what this world says of me. But God, help this person. Oh, Lord, reach this person. Help me to reach this person. When praying for someone's salvation, you need to keep praying even when you're being humiliated. You need to keep on going. Because you know at the end, you know what Jesus said? Verse 28, we come to the end. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. A faith that says, I will not take no for an answer because, Lord, it is your will that so-and-so be saved. When praying for someone, realize that God will answer your prayer. Listen to the promises of the Bible. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us who are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If God has His way, everyone should be saved. But because God does not force people to be saved, He gives everyone a free choice. Oh, the Calvinists, well, no. Yes, He does. The Bible said so. Whosoever will may come. That's what the Bible says. You trust Him by faith. You hear His word. You put your faith in Christ. Jesus says you will be saved. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. This is an absolute strong verse against Calvinists who say God hates sinners. Oh yeah, He hates the sin, but God loves the sinners too. Because the Bible is so clear, He's not willing that any should perish. If you tell me, there are some people who say, ah yeah, He said that, but you know, really, you are saying God is a liar. Does that make sense? No point for God to say, oh, I will all men to be saved, but you know, actually this elect will be saved. No, that's not what God said. God says, who not willing that any should perish means not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You know, this is great encouragement for us. God's heart is so big that everyone, He wants to be saved. You know, Ezekiel 33:11, you know what it says? Let's turn there. Ezekiel 33:11. Get a glimpse of God's heart today. Ezekiel 33. I want you to understand. See, God in the Bible shows us how He thinks. Ezekiel 33. And verse 11. Let's read together. Memorize it. Ezekiel 33:11. Ready? 1, 2. Begin. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Can you hear the heart of God? Don't tell me God hates sinners. God loves everyone. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is God's heart. That's why Ambassador exists. For the primary purpose of sharing the gospel with anyone who would listen. Of course, everyone has a free choice, but don't charge God that He is unloving. God loves everyone. His heart is so open. He says, why do you want to die? I've already prepared the way. Why do you want to continue in your sin? Turn away and come back. And the Bible says, 1 John 5:14, let's turn there, we'll close. I've got one more verse after that, but 1 John 5:14, this is a very important verse. When praying for someone's salvation, realize that God will answer your prayer, I'm dogmatically saying that. You know why? Because in 1 John 5:14, this is a confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. God will hear our prayer for the salvation of our loved ones. Why? Because it is according to His will. He is not willing that they should perish. So when we pray, God will hear. God will hear. But you know what? God expects us to persevere. Guess who doesn't want your loved ones to be saved? Guess who doesn't... Who wants to bring your loved ones to hell? The devil himself. Unless we realize the salvation of your loved ones is a spiritual battle. In other words, we cannot just take things lightly. We cannot just live our lives and think that everything will be fine. There needs to be spiritual investment in time and prayer. You know, when we prayed during a prayer retreat, okay, it's a sight to see people waking up in the morning and sitting there getting ready for prayer, but they haven't combed their hair yet. Or people are just, you know, the stone look early in the morning. And then you try to, that's why we have songs to try to wake people up. You know, I think you can understand the stone. But you know what? I believe with all my heart that 1 hour we spend in prayer that morning, even though how stone you are, is in the will of God. And there were people praying with their hearts. God is not interested in mechanical prayers. He's interested in prayer from the heart. Anyone can pray mechanical prayers. You can even program the computer to pray for you. Agree? Huh? With the latest technology now? Huh? But you know what? Nothing beats the heart. When God says it comes from the heart, out here. Not only that, it must come in accordance to His will. That means, Lord, as I pray, I'm submitting myself to You. Let me ask you, what do you want for the Lord? Before we finish, I actually have something for you. I'm going to pass this. Everyone needs to take one. There may not be enough. I think I printed 50. But I know that we may have four. Just take one. I just keep one for myself. Does everyone take one? Let's take one, just very quickly. What you will be receiving is a rectangular slip. There are three words on there: name, person, name, salvation, or others. What I'm going to challenge you to do is to write the name of that person whom you are praying for salvation. We might as well practice what we are preaching today. You write down the names of that person that you in your heart. Don't just say, "No, try, I gotta write." If it's not in your heart, don't write it down. But if God brings it up, write that person's name now. You write, and then under salvation, if it's for salvation, you take it. Or for other things, you write others there. Does that make sense? And then after, what I want you to do is to put it back into this plastic bag. You don't have to put your names down. You don't have to be embarrassed. I hope you don't feel that. The reason why I'm doing this is, what we're going to do is key all this person's name in. And we're going to pray and beg God to save them. Because there's no point talking if we don't put it down to action. Does it make sense? I want to challenge us. Okay, does it make sense? I know I sound very serious. I am. But I want us to... Of course, then the list will be printed out. I'm not too sure some people may... I don't want this thing about embarrassed, but I hope you're not. It's just that we want to put this list of people regularly before the throne of grace. And God, please... We won't take no for an answer. You say you want to save, Lord. Save these people. Change me, Lord, but save them. Does it make sense? Okay, I'll give you 30 seconds. I'm sure it's quite fine. Just tick, tick. Others is... Sorry? Just tick. Is this for salvation? Just tick. You don't have to write anything. Just the name of the person. It could be Lily Tan Ching Koo or something like that. You know? Just... Then after that, maybe I'll ask Uncle Rose, if Brother Joshua, if you can just... Uncle Roland, yeah, just put it in there, okay? If you don't feel comfortable, that's fine. I'm not going to force you to do it, but just put it in. And then I'll probably ask someone to type out the name and the need. It could be anyone, okay? Your loved ones, your cousin, your grandmother, your friend beside. You know, if you say, Brother Johnny, my whole family say, but someone has walked away from God and I want to pray that that God will bring that person back. Put that name down. Put a name down. Okay. I hope you won't be shy about it, and we're not going to we're going to print out all this. No, we're not going to do that. It's just that we're going to pray for that name. Say, Lord, you know, you don't put your name, we don't know who. Lord, this is this person. Lord, I know that person. See, God knows every name, amen? God knows everyone. We just put it, at least we know that God, we're targeting this person, and if someone's dead or mom, and Lord, we need you to do something there. Alright? As the thing is being passed around, let's turn to one more verse in Matthew 17:21. Then we'll finish. Matthew 17:21. I'm sure you know the context. There was a boy who was demon-possessed, and the disciples couldn't cast him out. And he came to Jesus. Jesus cast the person out. I'll cast the devils out. And then the disciples ask, how come we can't do this? At the end of all that, Jesus says, how be it, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. You use the modern versions, the word fasting is taken out. Because the devil knows, you can pray, but if you pray and fast, you are invincible. I don't say that to pep you up. God gave us fasting and prayer, not for fun. He knew that the forces of Satan is going to stop you at all costs. But for the salvation of your loved one, this child was demon-possessed from young. But Jesus said, this one will not go out. Okay, howbeit this kind goeth not out. This kind of deep-seated problems in your life will not be removed unless you are willing to take it by its horns by prayer and fasting, dealing with it from the root. It's a spiritual problem. And God says, unless you're willing to fast and to pray, it is not going to happen. You know, as a church, we need to pray regularly. Can I challenge us Friday nights? Come and pray. And by God's grace, we are going to set things specific to praying and fasting for our loved ones. And I'm just thinking of different ways of, as a church, we can participate in this, whereby perhaps one of the things I'm thinking, maybe fortnightly or twice a month, we fast and pray specific on a certain day for our loved ones. Just pray. We need God to help us. You know, sometimes we get so discouraged, don't we? Why don't we just look to God? Because He can do all things. But you know what? As we beg God to do that, we need to be responsible. Lord, have mercy on me. Change me. You know, one of the most, I think the highlight of my prayer in the prayer retreat was this prayer. Lord, change me. Because when God changes us, He can do anything. Amen? When God changes us. Imagine when God changed Paul's life. He won the known world, or rather He influenced the known world for Christ. May God help Ambassador to be a prayer, maybe yourself to be a prayer warrior for God. Even if it's just for your loved ones. Let's close in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time. Oh Lord, we come before Your holy presence to thank You for the challenge today. The encouragement from Your word. Lord, we see a lady who is not even from the elect nation. We saw a lady who has a daughter who has been grievously, miserably, badly, according to the meaning of the word, badly vexed, afflicted with the devil. And it didn't say, at least in Matthew 15, Lord, but it must have been terrible. There could be diseases that came out. There could be physical problems. There could just be torment. But Lord, it was heavy on the heart of the mom. It was her loved one. It was someone she cared for. And it was someone who couldn't live life to the fullest because of this imprisonment. And Father, as we look at our loved ones, many of them imprisoned by sin, not knowing, even blinded, Lord, by the gods of this world. Today, as we put their names down, Father, on behalf of everyone, I'm praying for You to do something for us. Yes, Lord, we are unworthy. Yes, Lord, there are things in our lives that need to change. But God, change us so that You can save them. Oh God, as we submit to You, I ask for Your Holy Spirit to touch lives right now. Father, Christianity is not a game. It's a relationship with You. A relationship that must translate in the salvation of others, because as we live our lives in Christ, You want to change us so that other people can experience the same love. With eyes closed, heads bowed. How many of you would say, Brother Johnny, pray for me? But like this woman, I'm asking God, have mercy on me and save my loved one. Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me, that God will do His work in me. Is there anyone? Just put up your hand. Amen, I see that hand. I see those hands. Amen, I see that hand. Lord, change my life. As you put up your hand, you put it down and you pray. Pray, God, change me. Change me, Lord. Amen, I see that hand too. Don't just do it frivolously. Amen, I see that hand. Don't just say put up, put down, just because you feel something. Pray in your heart, Lord, help me. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Lord, change me. and save my parents, save my loved ones. Amen. Father, we thank you for the hands that have gone up. Father, I pray that you would take these people's lives, the hands that have gone up. Father, do a mighty work, a work that only you can do. Lord, we know your word tells us to trust you. We know your word tells us to live by faith. Help us, Lord, to have time in your word to develop that faith that we might trust you. Help us to persevere even when you are silent. Help us to pray even when rejected or humiliated. Help us, Lord, to have the faith of this woman. Lord, despite the things she went through, she continued in prayer. Thank you for the encouragement that you will answer. Lord, we know that without you, we can do nothing. Father, for the plastic bag of names that have come forward, I put it before you. I don't know every one of them, Lord, but you do. And I pray that everyone who has written down their names, Lord, who have jotted down themselves somewhere, Lord, we want to be accountable and we want to pray for these people. Lord, I pray for their salvation. And that, Father, you would use the person writing down that name as an instrument to reach that friend or that loved one for you. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. I look forward, Father, to answers to prayer. Thank you once again. With men it is impossible, but not with God. But with God all things are possible. And Father, help our faith to be in that, because it is your word. It is the Bible that we are trusting. Father, we trust you today. And so we will be praying. Lord, thank you once again. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're finished. We're closed.